Good morning.
All right, we're going to get started. And I apologize for starting a little bit late, and especially because we have a very heavy testimony schedule before us. A number of us just came back from, I think, a pretty exciting hearing over at the with the Senate on integration. And so I think I know I certainly got delayed trying to cut through. The good people gathered in that room for today. But are we at a quorum? We are. I'm wondering, Representative Erickson, if you would be so kind to move the minutes.
Mr. Chair, I will move the minutes of
yeah, yeah, where are the minutes?
Of the January 31st meeting.
Thank you. Representative Erickson moves adoption of the minutes of January 31st. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. So, members, let me explain very quickly what we're going to do here. And for our testifiers today, your first clue is that the chair is trying to speak very rapidly and kind of moving around frenetically, which means that I'm going to really need your help as you offer testimony today to be concise and move through the testimony as quickly as possible. You know, this issue really deserves a heck of a lot more interaction with each one of you. The intent today is to set a broad context and then also put a human face in terms of the issue before us. And so I hope that we can do that in a concise manner. My apologies to all of you ahead of time for rushing you, if you will. But here's the goal, or here's the plan today. We have two bills. House File 171, John Warden, House File 34, Representative Sandra Erickson. Both have to do with the MTLE. And members, I have to say I'm very encouraged, and this has been true of the MTLE for a long time, that the concerns around this this issue is not a partisan issue. It's a concern that folks from both parties have consistently tried to figure out how to address so that we can honor the hard work and efforts and ambitions of people who are seeking to become, good guardians of our students in our state by becoming licensed teachers. But we know that there's some barriers that are getting in their way. And so I'm delighted that we have a bill from both caucuses coming forward. They're obviously different bills. The goal today is not to move the bills or forward, but rather to lay them before us so that we can then have a discussion from the authors about their thinking and then hear testimony around the issue in general. I would then be asking that we lay these bills over. And my promise as chair is that we would lay these bills over for optimal options. That is, for possible inclusion in a policy omnibus bill, and or for the bill to be able to move forward individually. And that's another way of saying that if the authors want to vote on their bills, this chair will commit that this committee will have an opportunity to do that. And so laying it over today is not burying these bills. So with that, I'm going to go ahead, Representative Ward. I'm going to move your bill, House File 171, since you're not a member of the committee. Someone on the committee needs to do that. So the chair will move adoption of House File 171 that it be recommended to pass, and I'm just going to say recommended to pass, and it would be referred to the floor of the House. As I said later on, I will change that motion. So my motion then puts the bill before us, and you have some wonderful people that I'm really anxious to hear from. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Chair Mariani. It's a pleasure to be with you and your committee members today. In my first term, I was on this committee with you, Chair Mariani, and enjoyed it. And I know the good work that this committee does, and I thank each and every one of you for understanding and knowing the importance of education in the state of Minnesota and having it as a priority. So, Chair Mariani and members, House File, and I'm pleased also, as Chair Mariani said, that Representative Erickson is bringing her bill with this together today. Even though we have some differences in the bill, in what the bill, each bill does, it still identifies that we have a problem, in my opinion, with the Minnesota Teacher License Exam, and we need to address that. So, Chair Mariani and members, House File 171 repeals the Minnesota Teacher License Exam, And let me just give you a brief introduction, and I want to turn to my testifiers because those are important people why we should do this. They will tell you why we should do this. And, you know, I members like you want to make sure the educators we have in front of our children are the best, the most qualified, the most certified educators that we can put in front of our children. The Minnesota Teacher License Exam, or MTLE, has presented this from happening too many times. That's the purpose of my bill. Let's remember our new educators, members, have gone through years of college preparation, including valuable student teaching, and some of them even pre-student teaching experiences, passing a pedagogy test, passing a content exam, applying for and completing their licensure work. They are also observed and evaluated at least once per year and assessed once per year for their first 3 years. And sometimes, but not enough, members, they are connected with a mentor and given advice with that. They are closely scrutinized as to the quality and what they are doing in the classroom. And I agree with every one of those components that I just mentioned. However, the high-stakes exam, the MTLE, the difficult exam, are forcing many of our best and brightest out of education. Thus, again, the purpose of my bill. I have three testifiers with me today, members, and I'm going to just let them right off the bat take over here. I have, to my left, Principal Scott Doss from Pillager High School. To my right, Dan Devine, teacher at Pillager High School, who has been individually impacted by this. And then my far right, Minnesota Viking tight end, John Carlson, who will testify with his relationship about Dan Devine as well. So I'm going to turn it over right to Dan Devine to start with, Mr. Chair.
Representative Ward, you have me intrigued with the presence of Mr. Carlson. I'm really looking forward to the testimony. Gentlemen, welcome.
So, do I need to go any further than Matt?
No. Let's keep the suspense going. I think this is sort of like a typical Vikings game where they keep us hanging on to the last quarter. Let me say, gentlemen, welcome to the committee. The protocol here is for you to present yourself for the record, and then. Discussion goes through the chair, so the chair, you know, when you're asked, you don't need to look at me. I'll call out your name. Just don't be confused if you hear your name out of the blue. Just keep talking. So, Mr. Devine, welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Mariani, and committee members. I thank all of you guys that have made an impact on me to be able to teach again this year. My name again is Dan Devine. I'm in my fifth year as an art teacher at Pillager High School. Talking to you in regards about my teaching license, that I'd like to have a full-time license. Currently, I have a one-year limited license. I was first hired in 2008 without having passed the PPST reading and writing test. I have yet to pass the MTLE writing portion of this test, but I'm in my fifth year and being a very successful teacher and coach to my students. I'd like to prove that I'm fully capable of doing and excelling at my job. I have a degree from MSU Moorhead stating that my professors, student teaching, cooperating teacher are confident in my abilities as an art teacher. I can also document in the forms of job references, evaluations, my mentors, my coworkers, my administration have full support from my superintendent and principal in this manner. They recognize the passion that I have for building positive relationships with my kids and the kids in our school through the mediums of art, through coaching, being a mentor to the young students that I get to impact every day. I've been able to inspire students to produce works of art that have changed the culture, not only in our school building, but our community. We're doing amazing things in Pillager High School, and it's a lot to credit to the mentors and the people that have poured into me, and how I'm able to do that and carry that out into the people that the students that I get to meet with every day. As much as I want to pass the MTLE test, I urge you to consider the circumstances I'm under. I have a learning disability that was tested in high school. I was given accommodations, time and a half on the Praxis test for this disability. With a switch to the MTLE, I was initially denied accommodations for my disability. I tried several different approaches to proving my disability, including paying a licensed psychologist $300 because my coworkers who teach special ed are not able to diagnose me or someone at my age. I've been taking the test without time and a half, but now with the accommodations, I still cannot pass the test. Even with time and a half, it's not only been made more difficult for me in the addition of a second essay. I've taken the PPST MTLE many times. I've sat in that cubicle, and I've come away from 2 points shy from passing. I'm an art teacher. There has never been an instance where I've had to produce a five-paragraph essay in a room by myself under time restraints. In fact, I have not passed this test. There's no bearing to my ability to my job, but I can motivate students to do excellent work and think deeper about concepts that they've never thought about before. Please consider me and thousands of other teachers in the state to hold full license. It'd be an injustice to the students I serve on a daily basis not to be able to continue the relationships I've built with them. Come see yourself, please. We're doing awesome stuff in Pillager High School. Talk to my administrators. Please make a change for myself and others. As this has been a major stressor for my family, I find peace in knowing that God has a plan, and I pray that you will use my circumstance to make Minnesota educational system better for the students and teachers. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to the positive change that will come. Thank you,
Mr. Devine. I am humbled by your presence and by your perseverance and by your commitment to our students in Minnesota, and also humbled by your commitment to yourself to be the best the best presence you can be for our students.
Appreciate that, Chair.
Mr. Devine, I'm wondering very quickly, when you after you're done with the each time you're done with the particular task that of the MTLE regime that has been a barrier, were you able to get feedback from the test administrators about the particular pieces of the test that or has that not been forthcoming for you?
Mr. Chair, and committee members, they provide you with feedback of a number scale. And that number scale is, kind of even a plus-minus chart. They break that down, what you're doing well on, what you still need to work on. As it's changed over to the MTLE, I've been as far as 43 points away from passing. It was night and day from where it was from the PPST to the MTLE. Recently, as I've taken the test, I've been under 20 points away from passing. It's that rigor that's been added to it, and I'm again looking forth to sign up for the test again and continue to put myself through it. But I see no change through. No matter how many times I take the test, I've gone to help. I've used all my resources, collaborated with English teachers in my school. I've taken an entire summer and dedicated the whole summer to it, and still yet again fall short.
Thank you, Mr. Devine. Mr. Doss, I think perhaps you're Principal Doss, I think you're perhaps next. Welcome to the committee. Yeah. Please state your name for the record and give us your testimony.
Chair Mariani and committee members, my name is Scott Doss, and I've been the principal. This is my 12th year at Pillager. I've been an educator for 28 years, and I have a extreme blessing to be in the school district where I am at. I talk about, Dan Devine mentioned something about culture and climate. I work in a small district that we have seen growth the last 7 years in a climate where growth is not normal. We have a healthy fund balance, and we have no operating levy. We're one of less than 30 schools or districts in the state of Minnesota without an operating levy. I ask myself a lot, why do I say that, and how do we do it? We do it with people with Dan Devine's. We do it with teachers. We do it with people that invest. I'm a father of three. I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old in college, and I have a 12-year-old seventh grader in our school. Wow. As a father, as a parent, the greatest gift a person can ever get is where a person will invest in their children. And as a principal at Pillager, I get to see Dan Devine on a daily basis. He's coached my children. More importantly, my two older children are not involved in arts. They took art classes from Mr. Devine, and they loved art. They loved art. They loved art because Dan Devine, as a person, took the time to invest in them, took the time to get to know them, took the time to get to tell them how much he cares about them as a person. I would encourage you, as Dan said, to come and watch him in, I guess we can say, in action. I have been around a lot of great educators in 28 years, and I'm not going out on a limb to say that in terms of a content-specific teacher, there's not a better educator than Dan Devine if we are truly looking at the important things in life, and that's building positive relationships, investing in our kids, which we all know that that's our greatest commodity and the thing that's the only thing that really matters. And I would encourage each committee member to think strongly about how this test works. We have a teacher tenure law in the state of Minnesota, which requires 3 years of continuous service in a district under the supervision of trained administrators. I would just encourage you to take a look at how we evaluate our teachers and to look at those people as the ones that should determine whether or not a teacher is a teacher. Because as I told Dan on the way down, I want to use a little sports analogy. It's perfect with John being here. I look at Peyton Manning and I look at Joe Webb. If you were to look at those two gentlemen's numbers on a piece of paper, Peyton Manning would not be in the NFL. Peyton Manning is a great football player. Dan Devine's a great teacher. He's a great teacher. And I'll end with, better than that, he's a great man. He's a great man, he's a great husband, and a great father. And it would be a shame for us to lose those type of people in a state where we pride ourselves on education. Thank you, Chairman and Committee.
Thank you, Principal Goss. And members, I know many of you know that one of the things that we look for in our teaching core is the ability to build strong relationships with our students. And I think one of the things that we've been struggling with, evolving, I would say, is to find the right kind of instruments that can fully capture in a quality assurance way, assure the public that those skills, in fact, are being deployed and quite effectively. We obviously struggle with the need to make sure that there's rigor in our professional class of teachers, but we also want to make sure we're using the right instruments that tell us that. And if they're not the right instruments, then this is the body that can redirect our direction in the state, but always holding, you know, true to our desire to have highly rigorous professionals in our classroom. So all that by way of saying that we're going to figure this out and we're going to get it right, and hopefully we'll do it sooner and not later. And so you two gentlemen, thank you for taking the drive down this morning. I really truly appreciate that. Mr. Carlson, welcome to the committee. And please state your name for the record.
Chairman Mariani and committee members, my name is John Carlson. Currently I'm a tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. I've had the good fortune to be friends with Dan Devine for about 24 years now. And so I am coming at this from a biased perspective because I know him so well. I love him like a brother. He's a man of high integrity. He's a man of character. You've heard how great of an art teacher he is. And he is a great art teacher. He's an outstanding art teacher. You can see some of his work on the internet with what he's done with their new commons area, with the brick mural. You can see, walking through his classroom, you can see how he impacts kids. But to me, the most important thing that he does is he impacts kids' lives beyond art. Now, I've been a teammate with Dan. I've been a friend of his for a very long time. And he's one of those people that builds relationships. He's one of those people that raises the level of the people around him. He has limitations, as we all do, but they've never prevented him from accomplishing anything in middle school and high school, going through college. He's been teaching for 5 years now without the full licensure. people continue to hire him because he's so great at what he does. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of character. He's an excellent husband. You know, I come from a family of teachers. Both of my parents are high school and middle school educators. My older sister and her husband are teachers. My older brother was a teacher for about 6 years, as was his wife. So I have a familiar background with education and the process from the teacher's perspective, as well as I'm a product of the public school system in Litchfield. So I thank committee members, Mr. Chairman, for the work that's being done here in regards to this situation. I can't say enough about this man. He belongs in the classroom. He impacts kids in a positive way, and these are exactly the type of people that I believe we should have teaching our kids in the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson, for being here, and we should all be so fortunate to have the kind of friendship that you've shared with us here today. Truly, great things are possible when we support one another. So thank you for your testimony, and we do look forward to a good season. Anxiously.
Yes,
we'll have you back for a report.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if we could talk about the retractable roof in this. Is that inappropriate, sir?
Not at all. I want to discuss that, if that's possible, Chairman. I'd like to...
I think we have an amendment coming.
I'd like to do that, yeah.
We do have a few questions. I'm gonna say let's take about 3 minutes to do questions. We're not going to be able to get to all of them, unfortunately, but we do have a long list of testifiers. And so I'm going to start off with Representative Erdahl, and then if there's time to Representative Sulawski. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and very appreciative of the testimony here today. A little sideline, Mr. Devine and Mr. Carlson are both from my district. Their parents are my constituents yet today. I've known both of them. You won't believe this, but played basketball with them and against them over the years.
I'm sure you skied on them, Mr.
Mr. Carlson is still, marveling at how I stuffed his shot.
Yeah. those kindergarten memories can be harsh.
Well, maybe I'm embellishing just a little. But I would like to say, in all seriousness, that this is a very important issue. We need to find a solution to it. I'm not, positive that Representative Ward's bill to do away with the test completely is the answer. But we certainly need to find an accommodation to meet the needs of fine teachers who can't continue because of this test. And I think that there are solutions that can still be reached, and that's why I'm glad that this bill is being laid over, because some ideas have come up just for me within the last 24 hours that I think might be helpful in helping people like Mr. Devine, because if I'm not mistaken, this is if you don't pass it this year, Mr. Devine, what is the outcome?
Mr. Devine.
Mr. Chair, Representative John, or excuse me, Mr. Erdahl. I'm out of a job. I'm not teaching next year, and with my wife and our first child, we're looking at a different plan, I guess, how to approach life.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just once again, that's why we have to find a solution this year to address this problem, so that people like Dan Devine can keep teaching.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Sulawski, and then we're going to move to the with the schedule. Representative Sulawski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for coming today. I am a special education teacher for 28 years, and I would have to say that your principal looks a lot better than I do. After 28 years, I would have been starting now in February. But I am a learning disabilities teacher at the Wilmer Middle School, and so I understand your pain. And appreciate that. I do want to ask, did you, in taking your tests, you did pass the reading and the math part of the rigor of the test?
Mr. Devine.
Mr. Chair, committee member, yes, I have. And that was when the test was the PPST. Since it's gone to the MTLE, I mean, that whole rigor of the MTLE has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that a ninth grade level on math or reading and writing? Now it's at a 10th grade or a junior level of college rigor.
Representative Swartz.
Follow up. Point made, because going into the writing test, do you understand the requirements, what they're looking for? I've been seeing that trigger being, it's a moving target, and in case in point, we had a teacher just like you who is an English major who has not been able to pass that writing test, and he has done it several times. And he was a swimming coach in Wilmer in St. Cloud, worked beautifully with our students that needed some extra fundamental reading programs, and he's out of a job as well. And so I guess I really struggle with that writing piece. You're not the first person that I've heard this about, and so I really appreciate, because it takes a lot of guts to come here. And we have to remember that students with learning disabilities are just like you and me. And you're strong in reading and math, and you know what? That math is the tough one. You know, our schools are getting hammered because of the math test, but you passed it. So, you know, I mean, we know that there's different learning. You know, we know that you can do it, and the performance. You're performance based right now. You're producing a product, just like the music teacher does the performance on a song fest. You know, you're doing it. You're managing 800 kids, 300 kids doing a song fest. So I think that I agree with you, Mr. Erdahl, and that we need to look at this, but I do think that we still need to continue with high expectations from our teachers, but we have to look at it piece by piece. Thank you. And I enjoy reading your articles in the West Central Tribune regarding our
football. Thank you, Representative Sawatsky. There's going to be lots for us to chew on here. As I mentioned earlier, there is a balance here. We certainly want rigor, but we have to also look at, you know, the appropriateness of certain skill sets connected to certain licensures, as well as looking at the instruments that we use, and at least ask the question whether there might not be as rigorous alternative ways to be able to assure quality and rigor beyond the use of this test, if it comes down to that. With that, I know that we have three others. I'm going to keep you all on the list, but I do want to keep us moving forward. Again, gentlemen, I greatly appreciate the drive down from Pillager, and I hope you don't run into anything nasty on the way back up. And Mr. Carlson, thank you as well for your testimony today. Representative Ward, I'm going to change my motion at this point. And have the motion then be that House
Chair Mariani, can I just make one comment before you do that,
yes, please?
Please,
very quickly.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Mariani and members, and Representative Sawatsky brings up a good point. I am not bringing this bill forward so that we don't have accountability in the teaching profession. We need to have accountability in the teaching profession. Most of you know I was an educator for 34 years, and I was never afraid of accountability or assessment or evaluation or anything. But members and citizens, we cannot lose educators like Dan Devine and the 2,000 to 3,000 other educators in this state that are being impacted by this because of what they can, what they have done and will do for children in the state of Minnesota. We cannot lose them. So it's not, we have to have accountability, but I just want to make that clear that's not what this bill is about, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ward. Representative Ward, at this point, I'm going to make the motion that House File 171 be laid over for possible inclusion in policy bill and or for passage forward. And so, Representative Erickson, I'm going to need your help. It's been a while since I've chaired. Do we vote on that motion?
No.
It's
no.
Just the chairs, you know.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. The former our former CA's got this, you know. Our staff are far better trained and frankly wiser than many of us. Don't you think, Representative Marquardt? Thank you. Thank you. So we'll lay this bill over. So, gentlemen, thank you again. Representative Erickson. And while Representative Erickson moves forward, gentlemen and ladies of the committee, Please refer to your packet. I had our consul, Lisa Larson, put together a two-page just run-through of the battery of tests that would constitute the MTLE, which is then required, obviously, for licensure as a teacher in our state. And if you pull that out very quickly, you'll see that that it's divided up in three parts. The basic skills test, which is, I think, for the most part, you know, where many of our struggles have been with perhaps otherwise highly qualified teachers. Then there's three pedagogy tests that are related to the grade licensure. And then there's a variety of content area tests that are divided by grade and by content. Obviously, not every teacher takes all of these tests. However, every teacher candidate is taking at least three of these tests. So there's quite a battery that, and we'll hear a little bit more from testifiers from our Board of Teaching and Department of Ed about this. The point here is that we do expect a lot out of our teacher candidates as we move them forward to licensure in this state. I think that's certainly appropriate, but I wanted to make sure that you had a good feeling and a good sense of what our teacher candidates are being asked to do to demonstrate their professional readiness to teach our students. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for being willing to hear House File 34. Before I move it for consideration, I would like to tell Mr. Devine that I'd be happy to tutor him, having taught writing for 35 years plus and sent a lot of students through Princeton High School and alternative programs, helping them learn how to create an essay or a discussion question. I would offer my services to tutor him and help him pass his next MTLE.
And Mr. Devine, I would urge you to take her up on that. I hear she's pretty good.
So with that said, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 34 for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill and draw your attention to the A2 amendment. And Mr. Chair and committee, I'd like to move the A2 amendment so House File 34 is in the order in which I'd like it. Just a brief explanation of the A2. It gives the Board of Teaching an option to consider using minimum SAT scores in critical reading, mathematics, and writing, or comparable minimum ACT scores in English language, reading, and mathematics as options for those who want to enter the teaching profession as ways to measure their knowledge in those three areas.
So Representative Erickson moves that House File 34 be recommended to pass.
And no, Mr. Chair, be referred to as possible inclusion.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll do it all at one point. So Representative Erickson moves that House File 34 be... this is always a weird...
I just want to move the amendment,
yeah,
Mr. Chair.
I get it. this has always been weird to me. I think the motion
is to
recommend it to pass... with the intent to lay it over for possible.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. and then Representative Erickson moves the A2 amendment. For our new members, it is very typical and normal for members to introduce bills and then, as they continue to work on them, to bring in amendments so that the bill then is shaped the way the author wishes the committee to have it under consideration, so it's perfectly appropriate, regardless of how you might feel about the amendment, for the committee to go ahead and adopt the amendment so that we can have the bill before us the way the author wishes it. So I would urge your adoption of the A2 amendment. So you heard the motion. All in favor we won't do the discussion yet. All in favor of the motion to adopt the A2 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And we have House File 34 before us as the author wishes it to have before us. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Of course, you know how passionate I am about effective teachers. Those of you who've served with me for a while or even so far this year know that I believe that an effective teacher in the classroom is most important next to an involved parent. But this change in law would allow our potential teachers to pass these three critical tests before they're admitted to a college teacher preparation program. And the reason I believe that that's a good move is that we get rid of all of this anxiety that occurs when our candidates then are ready to be licensed and still have these outstanding tests to take. Mr. Chair and members, I want the most knowledgeable of our potential teachers entering the field. This is a profession like any other, and we know that in most professions there is an admittance test, and so that is also one of my reasons for bringing forth this opportunity to give our potential teachers a chance to get all of this out of the way before they embark on their very important content learning in whatever field they choose. Mr. Chair, I also believe that this is a cost saving to our students. Having listened to Mr. Devine now and all the times that he has taken these tests and put out these fees, that's a cost that could be avoided. So that's my main reason for bringing this forward. I also want to point out that 23 states require an admittance test in this fashion to their teacher ed programs. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn to a parent who is here, Susan Thomas, who would like to talk about the need for this kind of law change so that we have the best and the most effective teachers in our classrooms.
Thank you, Representative Ertz. And I don't have the three testifiers on the testifying list before us. However, that does not mean I'm not going to hear from them. They're here, and they have something important to say. I would only ask that you be as concise as possible, because we do have quite a few folks teed up here, and we want to make sure we honor their time as well. So, Ms. Thomas, welcome to the committee.
Chairman Mariani, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Susan Thompson, and I'm a public school parent. And
how did she spell your Thompson?
T-H-O-M-S-O-N. And from about the winter of 2007 through the beginning of 2010, I served on and volunteered a lot of time on different committees, task force, and meetings that were held at the Board of Teaching that related to our transition from the Praxis test to the MTLE. And so I heard a lot of discussion and participated in this conversation around the basic skills. And I think one thing that's really important to be for me to remind myself of when we're discussing this is when we move from Praxis to the new test, we moved from a basic skills test that was evaluating high school skills to the metal exam, which really is at a college experience level. And that was very, very intentional, and there were long conversations about that. For me, I feel very, very, very strongly to support the requirement that the basic skill exam happen before the college student gets into a teacher preparation program. And I'm going to just cite three quick reasons. I also want to just mention as a perspective, I have three children. Two of my children have learning disabilities, and so I found Mr. Devine's testimony very moving. I do really like the suggestion of Representative Erickson providing that extra boost, because I know the success can come. So my three reasons for supporting the basic skills is, we all know teaching is a critical profession, and I think entrance to the profession should be challenging, not something anyone can get into regardless of their academic background or preparation. Requiring that the students have the basic skills before they get into the teacher preparation program is really relevant to helping match up our college students to this critical profession. Secondly, to become the best teacher possible, wouldn't you want to excel in your teacher preparation program? I have a child that graduated a couple years ago, one that's in college at the University of Minnesota right now, and one that will go soon. And believe me, from a very vivid perspective, I do see how challenging college is. So essential to have these basic skills in reading, writing, and math. And with those basic skills, the candidates can then enter these programs and really learn the best that they can and become the best teachers. Related to this, the National Council on Teacher Quality really recommends that the basic skills test be an admission requirement to teacher preparation programs. And their thinking makes sense to me. I mean, their thinking is, if you've got students in the class and you're the professor and you're teaching them, wouldn't you want to focus on the rigor and the content of the course rather than the possibility that the students really need a lot of help with remediating basic skills in order to access the rigor? Finally, from a parent's perspective, teacher candidates, I don't think, should be allowed to spend 4 years going through a program only to find out they can't pass a basic skills test and are denied their license. The cost, as we all know, of 4 years of college is staggering. And as a parent, I would want to know whether my student could actually pass the basic skills before starting the teacher preparation program. So I urge you, with a great deal of respect to all that you do for education, that you support the requirement of the basic skills test before our college students enter a teacher preparation program. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Representative Erickson, here's what I'm going to do. I do want to hear from Ms. Wallstein and Mr. Bartholomew, but I'm going to move their testimony toward the end here. And if we don't get to it, this bill is going to come back up. And I think Jim and Amy have been seen to hang around this committee frequently, and so I suspect we'll hear from them.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a most appropriate decision because we do need to hear from the board and others.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So with that, I'm going to do one other change. And thank you, Ms. Thompson. And this will be a surprise to the board and to the department, no doubt. But, you know, they also tend to hang around here a little bit. I'm going to jump ahead to Dr. Lensmeyer and Dr. Smith and have them come forward quickly, and then I'm going to then move over to Joel Olson, who's the Dean of Education from St. Scholastica College and also MACD president. I'm not sure if Ms. Olson has driven a bit, but I suspect she might have. So, please. Mr. Kimball, and then we'll get back to the department and to the Board of Teaching. My apologies to everyone for the change. We do what we can do to keep things moving here effectively. And so looks like you're going to need a few seconds to get a PowerPoint online.
This one?
Yes. All right. So Dr. Lensmeyer, if you can state your name for the record and give us your testimony, and then we'll have your colleague do the same.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair Mariani. My name is Audrey Lensmeyer, and I'm a professor at Augsburg College. I work in the education department. This is my colleague, Dr. Christopher Smith, also a professor of teacher education at Augsburg College. We really appreciate being invited today to offer testimony about the experience of the MTLE for students, particularly students of color who wish to become teachers in the state of Minnesota.
And you have a PowerPoint of members. We do have copies of that in your packet as well.
In anticipating our testimony today, we were under the impression that the overview of the MTLE would provide some background and context to our talk.
Oops, my
bad.
But
that's okay. I'm ready.
Well, give us your testimony. We have a pretty smart committee. They'll figure this out, and we will certainly hear from the department
and
the Board of Teaching.
Thank you. The problem that we're addressing in the study that we'll be presenting today is that students of color in K-12 schools need teachers of similar cultural, racial, and linguistic backgrounds. There are not enough teachers of color to reflect the growing diversity in the state of Minnesota in our K-12 population. Dan Goldhaber, full professor at the University of Washington and with the Center on Reinventing Public Education, and Michael Hansen, a researcher at the DC-based Education Policy Center at the Urban Institute, published a compelling study in the top journal in our field. They reported that licensure tests, like the MTLE, when used as a screen to eliminate possible teacher candidates, is only marginally effective at identifying teacher quality. In other words, the use of screening exams like the basic skills MTLE do not indicate the quality of the teachers that are in our classrooms. My colleague, Dr. Christopher Smith, in order to better understand what we were facing at Augsburg College, asked the question, are the subgroups of white and non-white equitably measured across the MTLE basic skills test at both the institutional and state levels? And I'll let him continue and explain his study.
Welcome to the committee, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Chairman Mariani, and committee members.
I'm sorry, you'll need to state your name. Just.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Christopher record. Smith, Professor of Education, Augsburg College. At the fall 2012 MACD conference, which is the Minnesota Association of Colleges for Teacher Education, my colleague, Dr. John Hoover from St. Cloud State, presented analysis that he performed on their MTLE data, breaking it down by subgroups of white students versus non-white students, looking at the passing rates for the component exams. So you can see the data there, if it's not too low on the screen. You can see the disparity between the groups, 67 to 16, 58 to 28, and so on. Now, beyond that, he performed a chi-squared test, which examines the probability that the difference between the groups is due to randomness, that it's just due to probability. These values show that the likelihood of that randomness being the explanation for the differences being in the order of somewhere around 1 in 200, well below the standard 0.05 level nominally used for such tests. This motivated me to look at our data at Augsburg College. And so I did the same analysis looking at the math, reading, writing, and the overall performance. Just because someone passes one test is no indication they'll pass the other two. They need to pass all three, obviously. So I added the extra level of the overall. So you can see the pass rates for our white candidates and our students of color as well. There's a disparity there as well. Our p-values are not as low as John Hoover's, but our numbers are also not as great as his as well. So seeing that these differences were maybe not as great, I did one step further into this, not just looking at the passing rates of pass versus not pass, but looking at the actual scores themselves. So breaking this down to the component scores, the passing score for the MTLE on all the component parts is 240. On the math assessment, here you can see, again, if it's not too low, you should have it hopefully in your packet. Our white students and students of color, the number, the mean score. So you see that the mean score for our white students is a passing score. Our mean score for our students of color is not a passing score. And this t-test looks for, again, the likelihood that the difference between these two groups is due to randomness, is due to probability, and it's sufficiently low to indicate there is a disparity present. There is an inequitable element to the measurement. For the reading assessment, the same analysis. Again, the students of color this time are passing, but there's still a significant gap, a statistically significant gap between the two groups. In the writing assessment, this is the worst of the three in terms of the disparity between the two. It's the lowest p-value. Students of color with a mean score of 234, well below the 240 mark required for passing. Beyond this, I wanted to experience the test myself. So went to Pearson, took the test, and what I found was that within my own taking of the test, 13 of the 50 elements appeared to be free of any language or cultural bias from my test. Now, due to the non-disclosure agreement that I signed in order to take the test, I cannot discuss any of the specific test items, or else I won't be allowed to take the test again. I could lose my teaching license. But this was my experience. This is what I found in taking it. This is not as much a test about math as it is about math and reading comprehension. That the mathematics, the basic skills, quote-unquote mathematics, is being confounded within other variables. there's a concern that I have that the test is assessing what it's meant to do. Whether or not there should be a test or not is secondary for me to whether this test is doing what it's being, what's been designed to do, and whether we're being vigilant against the bias that may or may not exist, but appears to exist. In talking with other assessment coordinators at other institutions of higher ed, they experience very similar experiences with their data. They've not done, not all the IHEs have done the same analysis that Dr. Hoover and I have done, but preliminarily it seems as though they witnessed the same sort of discrepancies. The other concern that I have is the score reports that come back are not very detailed. The score report that I got just simply gave me a number. It said mathematics, I got 4 stars. If I had not passed, I would assume that I would have gotten probably 1 or 2 stars. But from a student standpoint and from an IHE standpoint, the lack of diagnostic information makes it almost impossible for students to improve and for us as IHEs to help students improve.
Can I go back to
that? Sure.
And so we'll need to wrap it up here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So just to also put this into a national perspective very briefly, it's been found that licensure tests provide only limited evidence of teacher effectiveness, and that these cutoffs has the potential to adversely affect minority student outcomes and decrease workforce diversity. Finally, and as our data has shown, we have 4 recommendations for the committee moving forward. One would be to establish a clearinghouse for our state's MTLE data, like the examination of the data that Dr. Smith provided. We would like to have all of the IHEs have a similar analysis. We propose that a detailed item analysis to test the validity of each item on the MTLE for bias be conducted. Again, requesting diagnostics from MTLE for the students so we can support them, and restrict the use of the MTLE as a high-stakes screen until further studies are completed. One additional point that I'd like to make is that in our program with undergraduate students, they're taking the basic skills test before they're allowed to do college. If the MTLE is at the college level, wouldn't it make sense to have them complete college coursework before being subjected to this examination? And with that, we'll answer questions.
I just wanted to, if I may, one thing in closing. I think it's vital that we get out of this production line mentality that academic productivity can be distilled to a single number, that this can all be rectified by just one value, either student or teacher productivity. This is not a factory. This is education. This is much larger than this.
I love plain talk. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to stay around, so we'll get back to questions. I do want to continue with the testimony, but raise your hand for questions. We'll keep the list members, and then we'll circle back to those. Thank you for your testimony. Obviously, just one look at, and as based on your look, some suggestions of possible bias in the test, but it's only one look, and also raising issues of diagnostic information subsequent to testing, and then a few recommendations on how we might proceed forward. I think, members, we're going to see several ideas emerge in the next week or so about how to proceed forward, so it's good to be able to have this kind of background information before us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
If you can, stay for possible questions later. And with that, I'm going to ask Joel Olson, who's Dean of Education of St. Scholastica, and MACD, President, to come forward. So Representative Erickson, help me here. MACD is Minnesota
Association
Colleges.
For Teacher Education.
Thank you. I knew that.
This is right here.
Oh, does it? Where? Oh. I was so impressed. You didn't need to reveal that you had. Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Dr. Olson.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Joel Olson. I'm the Dean of the College of St. Scholastic in Duluth, but I'm here today representing the Minnesota Colleges of Teacher Education, 31 institutions that make up our chapter. So I'm speaking on their behalf as president. Thank you for expediting ours. Yes, I do come from Duluth, so it was a bit of a drive yesterday.
I appreciate the effort.
Yes, so thank you very much for that. I know that you have a paper in your packet of some of our issues that you can refer to later, so I'm going to just try to keep it to some key points that we have that we'd like to stress today. First of all, the term basic skills, as you've probably already picked up from, is misleading when it's referring to the MTLEs. When it was a praxis test, it was probably more appropriate to refer to them as basic skills. The MTLEs have been elevated to a mid-college level, which is, in many cases, as was mentioned, college-level material. And so I do want to make that very clear. All teacher preparation programs in Minnesota set standards for admission to their programs. They have multiple measures of admission to their programs. For example, they do look at the ACT scores, SAT scores, high school GPAs. They look at the college GPAs that the students have accrued in their first and second years. Most students don't apply to a teacher ed program until at least their second or beginning of their third year of college. So they do have GPAs that have been accumulated in other college courses. So those are all looked at. Many of the programs require writing samples, many require writing tests, many require letters of recommendation, interviews. So it's very comprehensive when a student applies to a teacher ed program. So we do have many, many admission requirements that we ourselves employ. The MTLE basic skills test, like all other MTLE tests, is a time test, which is, as you've heard, can be problematic for some students. A test is a single measure at a single point in time, and we'd like to stress that because results are impacted by testing conditions. For example, if it's timed, a lack of time, a student's physical and emotional health at the time of the test, test anxiety, especially when they've failed it multiple times and have to keep retaking it, learning disabilities, learning styles, and cultural differences. Students in teacher ed programs are assessed at multiple points in their program beyond admission to the program. They also have the content, MTLE content, pedagogy tests that were mentioned. They are also now doing the comprehensive EdTPA, which is a performance-based assessment, which is very comprehensive. And they are also assessed throughout their program on key assessments that measure the standards of effective practice, and in Minnesota, those exceed 100 standards for every student. So there are multiple assessments in order for a student to move forward throughout their program. We are concerned in MACD of the number of students who have shown themselves on multiple measures to have skills, knowledge, and dispositions needed to be an effective teacher, but who are being denied a teaching license, much like the young man that you heard earlier, because of their inability to pass a single subtest on the basic skills MTLE. Does it seem plausible that a student can pass the MTLEs in math and pedagogy, all college courses, clinical observations, student observations, cooperating teachers' reviews, including the EdTPA, but still not be able to read and write proficiently? This is especially, but not only true of teacher candidates who have learning disabilities, but of different styles for demonstrating their abilities that will not prevent them from being effective teachers, as we also heard earlier today. I'd like to refer you to the paper in the packet that you have, and I'd especially like to introduce Carrie Karski, who's a recent graduate from Mankato and who's in her first month of teaching in Edina, to speak of her experiences.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Olson, and welcome. I'm going to take a stab at this. Welcome, Ms. P. Karski.
Close.
We're all dying to know how it's pronounced. So please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair and members of the committees, my name is Carrie Pikarski. I would like to begin by thanking you for the opportunity to share my experience with the Minnesota Teaching Licensure Exams. I am a 2012 graduate from the College of Education at Minnesota State University, Mankato, with my Bachelor of Science in Special Education, Developmental Cognitive Disabilities. I am also a current educator at Cornelia Elementary in Edina. As a recent graduate from the College of Education, it was a requirement to take the MTLE basic skills test to obtain my teaching license. Over a two-year span, I have taken the MTLE numerous times, particularly the writing, which I have taken three times. I had already been accepted to the College of Education and was completing my coursework specific to my area of specialty, special education. After completing the basic skills MTLE the first time, I anxiously awaited my results for about 1 month. I had failed the writing subtests and passed both the reading and the math subtests. This left me puzzled, considering writing had always been a strength for me throughout my educational journey. With my drive and determination to share my passion of teaching with today's youth, I did everything in my power to improve my writing skills. I went out and purchased various writing materials, MTLE study guides, practice tests, and worked with private tutors in preparation for taking the writing test a second time. Once again, finding out that I had failed was not only very discouraging, but also frustrating and scary as well. Interestingly, I had one of the same essay topics as I had on the first subtest, and as I thought my writing skills were solid, I felt confident that I would pass. And yet I received a lower score, despite all of the money and effort I had put forth to ensure my success a second time. This left me struggling to develop strategies in preparation for the writing test a third time. The only feedback I had received was a score and the word fail. Writing is a very broad topic in which there are a lot of components. Once again, I revisited testing materials, tutors, even online grammar workshops, this time over the course of 1 year. Entering my student teaching and with a panic setting in, I took the test a third time. Because of time constraints imposed by delays in testing results, I was forced to travel to Wisconsin to make sure I passed the test prior to graduation. 1 month later, I received my score. I had passed. With graduation in a few short months, I scrambled to complete all other licensure exams along with completing the final requirements for graduation. I passed both the pedagogy and core skills examinations effortlessly. I was fortunate to be able to obtain my licensure immediately and start to share my talent and newly acquired knowledge within my profession. Throughout my educational journey, I've compiled an extensive portfolio of various professional credentials, such as appraisals, observations, evaluations, and informal and formal assessments critiquing my teaching performance, all of which proved me to be more than qualified to become an excellent educator. Despite these credentials, the basic skills test made me question the possibility of my chosen career path. In accomplishing such a major milestone in one's life, such as graduation, it was hard to watch my classmates, all of whom will make excellent educators, be held back from sharing their hard work and talents within this profession because they face the same difficulty in passing the MTLE basic skills test. Today's society demonstrates a deep need for clear and reliable statistics. Currently, teachers are required to have a bachelor's degree, teacher training, licensure from the state, a separate writing assessment required by the College of Education, and academic work associated with your specialty. Is taking the MTLE a valid evaluation tool for assessing someone's ability to become an educator by testing their general knowledge in the areas of reading, writing, and math? Is the knowledge needed to assess someone's ability to be an educator not already established in completing program requirements at the college level? By passing these tests and meeting all of the requirements, are we guaranteed that we will produce a high quality teacher, and do any of these requirements correlate with P12 student performance? Does the measurement of this test bear a relation to future student performance, and is there a way to measure talent in any quantifiable way? I dedicated countless hours in preparing myself to pass these basic skills subtests, even though I do not feel as though it improved my ability to teach. I feel as though this exam has been a gatekeeper rather than an informative tool to produce highly qualified, reflective educators. I do not want to see passionate teachers such as myself fall through the cracks. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pekarsky. I'm going to continue to push this ahead. Thank you both for your testimony. Members, here's kind of what I'm hearing. And first of all, I want to say this because we're going to run out of time in the end. And I'm sure Representative Erickson, Representative Briner, and others who have been here for a while will agree. This is one of the areas where we have a strong ability to be able to influence the the nature and the quality of our teacher professionals in our state. And when I say we, I mean as legislators, because obviously by state statute, we have prescribed a process by which licensure will be conferred. This is a powerful interaction for us. The other things we basically let school districts and schools do, you know, we have this new evaluation system coming online with the department and or school districts doing that work. We have those QCOMP districts that are doing a lot of local enhancements and evaluation and all that, meaning that those are powerful ways in which the teaching profession is being shaped and directed. This is one of the few areas where we as legislators do that work. And so it's really important that we fully understand it and that we're very intentional and we're constantly reflective about whether or not we have the appropriate set of expectations and metrics before us. So there's clearly, I would argue, there's clearly an impact that's happening. And the question for us is going to be, well, so is the impact doing its job? You know, if folks aren't getting past the test, maybe that's the role of you know, this tool that we have mandated, or maybe it's not doing its job. And if it's not, then where does that rest? Does that rest with the student? Does that rest with the test itself? Does that rest with the prep schools? One of the things I want you to think about, Dr. Ellison, is how do we know whether or not the important variable here is whether the teacher prep school isn't doing its job in terms of preparing a candidate relative to the new rigorous standards that we put forward? I think that's a fair question. Or is it a combination of all those things? I hate those, you know, when that happens. Otherwise it's, you know, easier to deal with. And then, of course, the big question is when and how do we intervene as a committee and as a legislature. So I wanted to get that out quickly as backdrop. Thank you for your testimony. I'm going to ask George Kimball from the Association Metropolitan School Districts and Tim Alexander, Assistant Superintendent of Minnetonka
thank
Schools,
you.
To come forward. Thank you both so much. And thank you for the drive from Mankato State, is that correct? And also from St. Scholastica. Good morning, gentlemen. Please state your name for the record and give us your testimony.
I'll go first. George Kimball, school board member in White Bear Lake and current chair of AMSD. I'm also a MSBA delegate.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Kimball.
Okay.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
We were hanging out early morning last Friday.
That's right. That's right. You did
a
great job.
I'm amazed my car started and got me there.
Yep. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I've got kind of a script here because I was told to keep it tight, and if I don't have a script, that's not going to happen. So,
wonderful.
Both AMSD and MSBA adopted the same resolution, very similar resolutions for their 2013 legislative platforms. And we're here today to talk specifically about the effect of the MTLE basic skills test on the non-native English speaking teachers of immersion and world languages. So that's just a little context here. The resolutions were basically to provide a path for non-native English-speaking teachers to acquire and maintain licensure to ensure the continued development and growth of immersion and world language programs whose success relies heavily on such teachers. I'm a proponent of creating systems that help guarantee quality teachers in the classroom, but I feel strongly that the MTLE basic skills requirements, specifically in reading and writing, is kind of sabotaging this goal when it comes to these non-native English speaking teachers of world languages. In South Washington County, two Chinese teachers resigned last year, largely due to frustration over the basic skills test and having to work under one-year licenses, no accrual toward tenure. No license replacements were found, and two entire elementary school Chinese programs were ended in that district. I'm going to mention up front, for full disclosure, that my wife is a native Chinese who teaches in South Washington County. And part of the reason I'm here is to just put a real face situation. There she is with a couple of students. I'm probably uniquely then immersed in the Minnesota Chinese community through my wife. Word spreads quickly through this community and even all the way back to China that attempting to teach and get this license with this basic skills test in Minnesota is kind of discouraged. That's a reality. The MTLE test content, the rumors fly, and we just heard testimony about the possibility of cultural bias, and that's what we're hearing. So I don't know the content of the test. They have sample questions online, but just imagine, for example, a question that involved baseball. How does a Chinese person even understand the prompt, the question, if it has a baseball reference? So not just having to answer the question, but figure out what the question is even about and then have a analytical, thoughtful answer to it. So I believe that non-native teachers are handicapped just in trying to understand these prompts. Many of you perhaps have sons, daughters, colleagues, friends I have who have taught English in other countries. I have two very good friends who have taught in South Korea, Dominican Republic, Poland, Romania, and Vietnam. And to date, none of them have entered that country to teach English in their schools and then been met by having to go to a cubicle somewhere and take a time test in reading and writing or math in that host country's language, just as a kind of a context. Teaching English. So now I want to just focus on Shen Fei, the teacher, my wife, the Royal Oaks Elementary in Woodbury. She grew up in Hunan, China, earned a BS, and was completing a master's degree when she moved to Minnesota at age 37 on account of me. We had met on an earlier trip to China and corresponded and eventually decided that she would come over here. So here she was. She volunteered teaching in the White Bear Lake School District just to have something to do. She had taught in China at a college. And then she was recruited to teach in South Washington County, interviewed for the job, was hired under a community expert license. She immediately then went and enrolled in University of Minnesota's Second Language and Culture Program in order to earn a master's and licensure at the same time. Very rigid program, I can testify to that. She worked full-time as a teacher, took classes at night and in the summer, studied long hours into each night and during summer vacation. She completed all coursework with a 3.9 GPA. And she then passed the pedagogy, content, and math basic skills tests under the Praxis version. She failed the writing and reading, retaking them three times, and then getting literally within 2 and 3 points of passing under the Praxis. The state changed to the MTLE in 2010. She's been studying. To date, we have not seen any formal study materials on, we've seen sample tests, but not formal study materials. And contrary to what I believe is policy, neither the U of M or other colleges that I know of have any remedial courses for people who are struggling with this that are focused on the MTLE. Principals in her 5 years of teaching have rated her very proficient in teacher evaluation. Very proficient in teacher evaluations. She writes a newsletter in English for her program. She created her own teacher website before the district created them for the teachers in English. She meets with parents at conferences. She sends email responses in English. And this year she wrote and was awarded a grant from the Minneapolis Institute of Arts and she wrote the grant in English, to bring all of her students to the museum.
Mr. Kimball, I apologize, but I'm going to push you along because I want to make sure we hear from our superintendent and
get
a few questions.
I just got one, less than a minute.
Yeah, thank you.
In those 5 years, not once has a principal, fellow teacher, or parent complained or even remarked about her lack of English skills. So question is the intent of the current MTLE requirement that this teacher be at risk of losing her job teaching Chinese to elementary students. So I would suggest that, you know, allowing 1 year or 2 years or 3 years more to pass it really isn't the solution. I'm hoping we agree that these great teachers should be spending time on language and culture lesson plans, not going back to school to make up for 30 years of living in another country and not watching TV and going to school here. The answer is an alternative pathway, such as an appeals process that allows teachers to demonstrate competency through coursework or portfolio. Finally, you know, there's many great American-born native teachers of foreign languages here, but I hope our goal isn't to create a system where we only have American-born teachers of foreign languages in our system. So I think that's it for me. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mr. Kimmel. Powerful testimony, again, putting a face on the issue and then raising perhaps some of the unique challenges that our non-native aspiring teachers face. And members, this is a big issue with an extended community as well when you think of applicants from outside of our state. And we haven't really dove into that. But think about this, with a looming teacher shortage in Minnesota, we have to make sure that our pathways inside our state, I would argue, and our pathways from outside our state are clear and powerful pathways and not being clogged up. When we do hear from the department, which unfortunately will not be today, I'm going to ask them to talk a little bit about how those pathways are now being clogged up partly by virtue of our struggling with this particular test and the sort of bureaucracy, a need of bureaucracy, to be able to then process this backlog of teacher candidates who are getting, you know, these extensions. They just sort of add to the pool of work for the department.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kimball,
make a quick request?
Please.
I think it would be helpful if members of the committee could get a sample copy of the test so that we know what we're talking about here.
I think we have the Board of Teaching here. I don't know if that's possible or not, but the request is out.
I don't mean that we should take it.
Wise, very wise. Let's hear from the superintendent. Superintendent Alexander, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Mariani, members of the committee. I'm the assistant superintendent in the Minnetonka Public Schools. I'm also the president of the MASPA organization, which represents personnel directors from across the state of Minnesota. And I am going to follow my script very, very quickly here, but there are some points I think I need to emphasize. So I want to begin by providing a little background on the issue that I believe is so significant and the impact will have on our current educational system if it's not resolved. The example is Minnetonka. We have about 2,000 students enrolled in our Spanish and Chinese immersion program in Minnetonka. We have over close to 30 teachers who teach in that program whose first language is not English. When selecting our immersion teachers, we use the same rigorous standards as we do for selecting all teachers in our district. The primary difference is that we're measuring their ability to deliver instruction in their target language. And the native speakers that we have in our immersion program are certainly critical to our success and the success of all language programs across the state. Given the low passing rates of teachers whose first language is not English, we are certainly facing a crisis when it comes to meeting the needs of our families and students if we don't resolve this issue. Also, given the fact that the number of graduates from Minnesota colleges and universities who have the language proficiency level to teach in an immersion setting is not sufficient to meet the needs of our schools across the state, we have no choice but recruit across the country and around the world. The current law significantly restricts that type of recruiting. And that's to Chair Mariani's point just a minute ago. The other, I do want to give just real quickly what I believe is a twofold solution. I think we have a crisis that needs to be resolved now, but I also think that there's a long-term solution to this particular issue. short of repealing the exam, which I will go on record and say, I do support repealing the exam if that's the direction we want to go. But short of repealing the exam, the short-term fix we need is to restore the gift of time. In particular, with teachers whose first language is not English, they need to be given a fair chance to build their language proficiency to a level in which they can be successful on the MTLE test. We know it takes anywhere from 5 to 7 years for a student in ESL to reach a level where they can be successful academically. And that's with ongoing daily support in an ESL program. If that's the guide, I believe these teachers would need at least that amount of time to prepare for these MTLE tests if people truly believe that these tests are necessary to measure their ability to be successful in our educational system. The long-term solution, from my perspective, is that there needs to be a recognition on the part of teacher licensing that language immersion teachers are delivering instruction in a different language. A license needs to be created that is directly associated with language immersion. There needs to be recognition that these individuals are delivering instruction in their target language, and the license needs to reflect that type of instruction. Obviously, the skill set required to teach in an immersion setting requires a very high language proficiency level in the target language, and certainly that could be measured through some type of MTLE assessment in the target language if that were the preference going forward. In closing, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to present these issues today. I recognize, much as everybody here, that this is just one of the many challenges facing the legislature in this round, but I'm hopeful that we will be given the ability to select teachers who can bring the native-like fluency and cultural component of immersion language instruction to our classrooms. Without these native-speaking teachers, immersion and other language programs across the state will be gravely impacted. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Alexander. We have 5 minutes left. I'm going to call on our Vice Chair, Representative Beinert, and I'm hoping that that can happen, that interaction, in 4 minutes so that I can do the proper motion to make sure that this bill is on the table. Representative Brenner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a short question for Dr. Olson, so I don't know if she would come back to the stand. Just briefly, I guess I'd like
you could stay there. That's quite all right.
Yeah. Dr. Olson, I'd like you to reflect a bit from the point of view of your role as MACT chair about the possibility of the state setting an element of admissions requirements for all schools and what the strengths and weaknesses of that might be.
Quickly, Dr. Olson. I apologize. We will come back to this, though.
I'm not sure I caught the one part of it.
Well, the testing requirement, if were it to occur prior to admission for students in your programs, would be a common portion of your admission requirement set by the state.
Yes. We have discussed that at great length, and I would say that we all feel strongly that it would exclude a number of very competent students, especially if the MTLEs are at the mid-college level when they are just haven't even had the time to do that. I think we would lose a great deal of teachers of color, potential candidates, English language learners. I think students like the young man you heard earlier, we would lose him. So we would feel very strongly as a group that we don't believe it should be an entrance requirement.
Thank you, Representative Brandon. And yet, I would argue that, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do, with this, that I think Representative Erickson offers one logical option for us to proceed, and I think all these things are going to have to be on the table for us, and I hope that many of you will continue to interact with us as we explore fully, those options. Quickly, Dr. Olson.
One comment. I just want to add that that has been proposed that they look at an alternative option, mm-hmm. and I know the board is looking at that as well. If they are unable to pass it after a certain one attempt, or that would be one area, and then looking at an alternative if they have an issue with the test.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Olson. To the department and to the Board of Teaching, my apologies. I'm not as good as managing committees as I should be, so my apologies for bringing you up. However, I think you heard some very important testimony here, and I'm hoping that we can have you back. It's possible, members, that we could have until both of those representatives back next Tuesday, and so I'm going to ponder a little bit about what we're going to do for next Tuesday. We may just continue this theme. I had some other bills teed up, but we may be able to push those off. So stay tuned. Representative Erickson, I'm going to make sure we have it on the record that House File 34 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus policy bill as amended. Yes, indeed. With that, members, we stand adjourned.